on your thinking caps. I know some of us at my age, I can't remember what I did last week, but or yesterday. But in the last 30 days, okay, let's think about the last 30 days. Put your thinking caps on. Did you say something mean to someone? Did you say something unnecessary? Did you say something to intentionally mislead someone? Okay. Did you say something that hurt someone's feelings? And then say, oh, you're just too sensitive. Did you say something that you would not have said if Jesus was physically standing next to you? Did you all at least say yes to one? And you know why? Because we're sinners, saved by grace. How many times would you have stayed out of trouble if you would have just kept your mouth shut? How many friends would you still have if you spoke with a little more grace? I shared with a close family member one time. I said, you don't have to say everything you're thinking. Could you imagine if we said everything we were thinking? Unfortunately, social media has opened the door for that, hasn't it? Because people say a whole lot more on social media than they would ever verbalize. Right? Proverbs 21:23 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Let me say it again. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Wow. Wow. In our previous session in James, which was about 3 weeks ago, James was talking about faith without works is dead. Well, part of those works are our words. How we use our words is part of our Christian life. He's not just talking about works. He's talking about a Christian life. The influence of Christ and the influence of faith in our life. That's what he's talking about at this point. A gentleman by the name of Herbert Stevenson, a pastor, he says, by our words as well as our works, we reveal the reality of the faith we possess. Wow. The tongue can be an effective tool to build with or a nasty weapon to tear down with. Many a person has been built up or torn down with words. I have a confession to make from this morning. Getting several phone calls, getting the news about Carlos, and then Timothy not being here and trying to run the soundboard, and I think I snapped. I know I snapped at the worship team because they were just barking orders at me, and you know, and I snapped and said something not wrong, but harshly, and I had to ask for forgiveness. I had to apologize after, and I told him exactly because I'm speaking on the tongue this morning. Isn't it amazing how the things that we want to teach and we want to preach about, or the things we want to communicate to somebody else, the trial and the pressure comes on us, and yes, I can excuse myself by saying, oh, I had so many things going on, but still it's no excuse, right? Right? And that means for you too, right? So we have to learn to work on our heart that whatever words come out are always seasoned with grace and truth. And so, again, as gracious as they are, they forgave me. They told me I was okay, I was cool, I wasn't that angry. Or I didn't appear to be that angry. But I just felt it welling up inside of me. It's not quite as bad as when that guy cuts you off in the freeway, or that person takes your spot in line. But I know I need to continually work on this. So as I talk about, as we go through this passage of James about the tongue, I'm not just preaching at you. I'm teaching myself. I'm preaching to myself. Okay, can we agree with that? Okay. So here in the James, let me read to you the first 12 verses, and then we'll pray, and then we'll move forward. Verse 1, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can a salt water produce fresh? Father, help us to recognize the power of our words, and that, Father, that we would do what it takes to clean, have our heart cleansed, and to fill it with your word, and may your spirit take control of our lives, and may we be men and women of blessing, that we would offer words of blessing and words of encouragement, words of truth and exhortation when needed, Father. But Lord, may we follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ in this process. We pray now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Point number one. Again, if you don't get the word, just, you know, let me acknowledge it and I'll give you, make sure you get the word for the blank. Point number one, recognize the great responsibility. Great responsibility we have to use our tongue wisely. Now, I shared with you last week that as we delegate the work here in the ministry, that part of that work is teaching. And we don't quite start off on the best foot. Do you think with verse 1? How many of you would be are scared now to even think about teaching? Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that such we will incur a stricter judgment. That's not to put fear in you. That's to raise up the level and the seriousness of God's Word. Because again, I think we take it too lightly, too often. We're too quick to offer a verse. We're too quick to offer a scripture, whether of encouragement or of condemnation. I had a person, you know, they just listed some things that I was doing wrong and they put verses to it. But friends, that's okay. Because we live by the Word, right? Now let me say this. If you are a person that was thinking about teaching, but because of this you don't want the stricter judgment, think about this. If you have the spiritual gift of teaching and are not teaching, don't you think God is going to come after you? So let's get on board to say God's Word is serious and we need God's wisdom. I'm not up here because I'm the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm not up here because I'm the smartest person. I'm up here because I'm trying to be obedient to God, to be a teacher of God's Word. If some of you knew me in the early days, you would say, yeah, that guy's going to fail. Not that I've improved a whole lot, but I think I have improved from those first days. No longer do they exist, the tapes that were taped on the early years, okay? I'm not like some of the pastors on the radio who've never changed and they've stayed faithful and true. They're gone. We burned them. But let me say this. Our tongue must be used wisely as we communicate God's truth. Because whether you like it or not, you are constantly teaching somebody, right? If you have children, they are constantly watching you, aren't they? They're constantly seeing how you do it. And there was a couple of YouTube videos that I saw that really put that into place, where the kid was watching the father and he barked some orders to the mother, and you could see the little boy ready to bark at his mother, and I think it was a smoking one about smoking, and it ended up with that. But our kids are watching us. Guess what? The neighbors are watching you. They know you go to church on Sunday morning. They're watching how you behave. So we are constantly communicating our belief in our God and whether or not we take it serious. We must use our tongue wisely. Grabbing hold of this will help us have better teachers. Friends, don't let this scare you. Let this help you embrace the Word of God. Help you to get into the Word of God, to come to Bible study on Wednesday night, to come on Sunday mornings on a regular basis, to get involved in one of the small groups, to get into the Word in your daily life, and let the Word get in you. It's easy to go through the Word, but are you allowing the Word to go through you? The tongue must be used wisely. Teaching God's Word is serious. But look what he says in Matthew 7:2. Let me read it to you. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by the standard, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Have you ever noticed how quick it is and how easy it is to point somebody else's sin out? And then you look in the mirror? Wasn't that what Nathan the prophet did to King David? He told him the story and David got riled up. Let's go get that man. And Nathan says, you're the guy. You're that man. Verse 2 of James says what? For we all stumble in many ways. Friends, that's why we need the wisdom of God. Because we stumble, we struggle, we slip, we lie, we cheat, we say mean things, we misuse our tongue. We all stumble, right? I just proved it this morning with just a few things that we talked about. That each of us is a sinner. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Well, I'm not that perfect or complete man. Now, we may not use harsh words like others. We may not say mean things like others. We may not be on this extreme. But let me say this also. When we don't speak truth when we should, are we not also sinning? James says, if you know what's right to do, you don't do it, it's sin. So it's not just about what you say, it's about what you didn't say. Right? Or what you should say. We need to recognize the great responsibility we have to use our tongue wisely. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Worthless. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Let's be diligent, friends. Let's pursue wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously, friends. Wisdom is available to His children. Maybe that's the issue this morning. You're not a child of God. And maybe you need to address that with God today. For God so loved the world, as we quoted, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. In that same great book of John, verse 12 of chapter 1, that to everyone who receives Him, to him He gives the power to become children of God. Friends, maybe that's where you need to start. If you're a believer today, maybe it's confession. But you need to call out for wisdom, that you would use your tongue well to build up, not to destroy, to build up one another. The second point here, we need to recognize the power of our tongue. The power of our tongue. Look at verse 3 in James 3. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. They put the bit in on top of the tongue and they use it to direct the horse. You know what the average size of a horse is? About 1,000 pounds. The average horse. A Clydesdale can weigh up to 2,200 pounds. You ever seen a Clydesdale? Unfortunately, they've always been identified with Budweiser. Clydesdales are magnificent creatures. Big. Sarah stood next to one at the fair. She looked short. No, she looked real short. She says she is short, but she looked real short. I couldn't imagine trying to put my foot in. I myself would need a ladder to get up. Anyway, you put a bit in the horse's mouth and you direct the horse. You can move the horse to the direction you want it to go and whatever other commands you give it with that. They direct their entire body as well. This is what James is comparing our tongue. In comparison, our tongue is very small compared to the rest of our body. But it has power, just like the bit to control. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. My friends, I think that opens our eyes to the reality that our heart really directs our lives. And it uses the tongue to direct our lives, either to bless or to curse, either to build up or to tear down. There is power in our tongue. Have you ever had your feelings hurt? Have you ever been put down? We had an old saying, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones. But names will never hurt me. Bullying has taken a forefront. Bullying is nothing new. Trust me, it's nothing new. We've always had bullying in one way or another. Right? Isn't that what Cain did to Abel? Yeah, eventually killed him, right? Ultimately killed him. Bullying has always been here. It's just happened to take the... taking the front page of the national news today. And I'm saying it's a good thing. But we can injure and just hurt a person with our words. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 39, I said, I will guard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. Friends, the psalmist here is using descriptive terms. You know what a muzzle's for? It's to keep the jaws, especially of a dog, shut. So they don't pose any harm with their mouth. Friends, the power in our tongue is very significant. For good or for bad. And with a small instrument, we can have great results, right? The psalmist goes to describe the reality that he at times may need a muzzle to keep his mouth shut. To keep it in control. Why? Because our words reveal the actions of our hearts, which also reveal what we're thinking. But friends, lest you feel too beat down because you realize how you've been misusing your tongue, remember, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And maybe right now, you just need to ask God to forgive you for something you said today, yesterday, or you've been saying to people to tear them down. Doesn't mean you don't talk truth, but you talk truth with grace. You talk truth with love. Recognize the power of our tongue. That small rudder can... And you might be thinking, well, this is first century. The ships weren't that big. Well, in the book of Acts, when Paul was on the ship, he says that there were 276 people on the ship that he was on. 276 people. That's double of what the chairs here. Not just double of what we have people here. Probably triple of what we have here as far as people fit on that ship. Plus cargo. So it was a pretty significant ship, and he's talking about the rudder, which directs it. Today, in the aircraft carriers, they have multiple rudders to help it stay stable in the water. But in that day, they had one rudder. We have one tongue. And it shapes the direction for our lives, and it shapes and helps mold the people around us, and or it can tear them down. The third thing we see here in this passage, because of the power of the tongue, and because of our need to use it wisely, we need to recognize the danger our tongue possesses. Kind of all, just kind of almost overlapping a lot here. Verse 5, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest fire, a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. There's a great Chicago fire by a cow at Miss O'Leary's barn who kicked over a lantern and set the city aflame. Over 200 people were killed. Massive damage building-wise. We've seen some of our own fires here. Just a small spark. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. The influence of sin, the influence of the evil one, to get even us as Christians, our mouths, our tongues to slip. In a movie starred Wyatt Earp, some of you know him as Marshall Wyatt Earp, he reportedly told the gang of cowboys, tell them I'm coming and Hal's coming with me. Some of you remember the movie. In other words, tell them my fury and I are coming and we are going to burn you guys alive. Not literally, but we're going to take you guys down. That is a symbolic of what we see here is the danger that our tongue possesses. Because how easily we can turn words into destructive, poison-filled words as we allow evil or wickedness or the sin that still indwells our flesh to take us, right? I mean, sometimes you say things and like, man, where did that come from? Or man, did I really say that? You guys are looking at me like you've never felt that. Have you felt that? Sometimes, as I said earlier, it's a lot easier to point somebody else's sin out. And we tend to want to avoid certain types of people. Maybe you've tended to avoid it, people who are always talking about themselves and their accomplishments, right? Maybe you try to avoid the person who's always bad-mouthing everyone around them, how it's always their fault and never their fault. You avoid those kind of people? Maybe you avoid the person who's always gossiping, right? But this is what we usually do, okay? Person's right here gossiping. We stand over here like we're not involved, but only close enough so we can hear it, right? And then we don't really get mad at them until they start gossiping about ourselves, right? Well, maybe that's just me. Maybe you're tired of hearing the person who's constantly criticizing their spouse. Or the person who's always using foul language. Or the person who's always telling a dirty joke or dropping an innuendo. An innuendo is a double meaning, usually with a sexual undertone. Maybe you avoid the person with the seductive words like the book of Proverbs warns us. The woman with the sweet, smooth tongue. Or maybe you avoid the person who has what has been known as the Chavez charm, which is sarcasm. Regardless of who you avoid, the question is, who are you? Are you one of these people that people avoid? Oh, not me, Lord. Like who was it that said that in Scripture? The apostles? Oh, I won't back away from you, Lord. Oh, no, no. But see, the moment of truth came, and Peter denied his God, his Lord, his Savior, three times. He who thinks he stand, let him beware lest he me give you a few portions of Proverbs. Proverbs 6:24 says, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. 16:27 says, a worthless man digs up evil, while his words are a scorching fire. 26:21 says, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is the contentious man who to kindle strife. 26:20, for a lack of wood, the fire goes out, but where there is no whisperer, gossiper, or slanderer, contention quiets down. And Job's words to his friend who was criticizing him. Job asked Bildad, his so-called comforter, how long will you torment me and crush me with words? How often do we do that? Do we belittle people? Do we tell our children? Do we tell people you're no good, you're worthless, you're not going to amount to anything? We had a supervisor at work. He was so-so. A great guy. He loved us. He took care of us. But, you know, he wasn't what you would call high-efficient supervisor. And somebody asked him one time. He says, hey, how come you're this way? He says, somebody said I wasn't worth a quarter. And I set out to prove him right. Friends, our words, we belittle. We poison them. That's not even just talking about the issues of false doctrine and false teaching. Well, we have to come back to accurately dividing the word of truth. In other words, getting it straight, getting it right. So as we communicate God's word, you know, one of the most famous so-called verses that's not really a verse, and people quote it all the time, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. That's not a verse. Satan himself told Adam and Eve, did God really say? Friends, the tongue is a dangerous tool. And we must keep it in the hands of the Holy Spirit, in the hands of the Savior, that it would do well for us. The fourth thought here is recognize you cannot tame your tongue. Oh no, it's hopeless then. No. Stay with me. Look what he says in verse 7. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. Have you ever been to SeaWorld and seen Shamu or Shamu's siblings or children? That big animal? For the most part, it's tamed, right? It's controlled for the most part, okay? Every now and then it slips, right? I think there was about 5 years ago, one of them bit one of its trainers. For the most part, you could go down into a shark's nest, and we saw one guy. He was kissing the sharks. Well, I won't use the words that I probably said when I saw the video. He tried to kiss it again, and it bit his lips. It slipped, right? Our tongue is untamable. We can't even give it that much tame that we do to wild animals. And it says here, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. But thank God we have God to help us, right? Thank God we have the power of the Word of God to help us. Thank God we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. There is power in the name of Jesus, right? And with power to help us to use our words rightly. Psalm 141 verse 3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Set a guard over my mouth. You know what? Stop and think about it. Where is your tongue? Behind a cage of teeth, right? And some doors are called lips, right? If we would just learn to keep them shut, the tongue couldn't get out, right? Right? A lot easier said than done, though, right? A lot easier said than done. Keep watch over the door of my lips is what the psalmist says. The psalmist understands apart from God's help, the tongue will run wild, right? There was a song called The Wild Thing. Uncontrolled, that's what our tongue is. That's what our tongue is. Only with God's intervention can we begin to tame our tongue. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." There's a battle going on. And the battle would be to break open the teeth and the lips so the tongue can run wild. Friends, but under the Holy Spirit and His power, we must learn to allow it to be subdued. To be controlled. Just like a fire in a stove, right? Is useful. You put the fire out in... How many of you ever started a fire? Okay, if it's criminal, don't talk, and you have been convicted, don't raise your hand. We were playing with matches, and we had a neighbor around the corner. They didn't do much with their yard. They let the grass grow and the weeds grow, and then they let them dry and die. Next year, same thing. Well, it was dry and nice and dry, and we were playing with matches. You don't realize how fast dry grass burns. We were grateful that we were able to get it stopped before it hit the garage. You know what? You ever show up scared to your house because you did something stupid? Well, I showed up at my house. Love you, Mom. What's the matter, man? Well, everything's okay. Friends, we can do things to manipulate our tongue to keep it shut, okay? But ultimately, apart from the power of God, those are only temporary fixes. And unfortunately, too often, we try to fix the spiritual with physical restraints. Okay? What I mean is this. It's important if you're addicted to liquor, not to go into a liquor store or a bar. But ultimately, that's not what needs to be changed. What needs to be changed is your heart's attitude. You can stop, if you're battling with pornography, get rid of the computer. But you still have your iPad and you still have your cell phone and you still have TV, right? To stroke your inner lust. You need to fix the heart. And too often we try to put patches on new patches on old wineskins, right? Is what the scriptures say. We need a heart operation. We need an overhaul and a brand new heart that God offers us. If you tend to cruel words or belittling or bullying or whatever, it's a heart condition. Yes, you could shackle yourself and chain yourself, and that's what a lot of the people that lived in monasteries tried to do. They tried to separate themselves from the world so they could be different. But friends, they took the sin with them, right? Some of the ladies I used to work with, way back in the post office, they were so desperate to lose weight, they had their jaws wired shut. Left enough so they could and get a straw in, and they would have to puree all their food and suck it up. They never lasted however long they said they were going to do it. They'd go in and cut the wires themselves. Desperate measure for a situation. There's sin in your life, and you're desperate to get it fixed. Go to Christ. Go for forgiveness. Call out on the Holy Spirit. Get an accountability partner to help you walk with that. But friends, putting patches on it isn't going to fix it. Those may be temporary first steps, but ultimately you need Jesus Christ and you need the forgiveness that He offers and He extends. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit to stand strong in the power of Him and His Word. Apart from that, you and I will continually scrape our knees. The flesh sets its desire. Notice that the flesh sets its desire. It's after it. It's battling in Galatians. It's against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For there is opposition. They are in opposition to one another. It is a spiritual battle, my friends. Please don't take it lightly. Finally, the fifth thought here. We need to recognize that your tongue is an indication of your heart. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. The problems that we are having in our country, this racial issues, it is a heart issue, friends. We have lost the dignity of life. We have lost the made in God's image reality. That we have taken God out of the way and we've only evolved. Henceforth, we have no moral compulsion to do what's right and to treat others with respect. I've had people tell me, oh, you have to earn my respect. No. We are made in God's image. There is a certain level of respect. That respect for people can grow, but we have to have a certain level. And we can sit back here and think about what's happening in Ferguson and just mock them. But friends, we have our own issues here in Pico Rivera. We have our own issues in our home, don't we? Don't we? And we need to deal with those issues. And we need to make it an issue of the heart. We come on Sundays and we're singing praises to God, right? And then we'll go home and cut somebody out because they cut us off in the parking lot. Or got the last order of albóndiga soup at Mario's, or... With it we bless our Father and our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the likeness of in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. These things ought not to be this way. Friends, it shouldn't be this way. Can James say it any clearer? How often do we? When I was a kid, three of us would walk to school. Emilio and the other guy's kid's name was Marin, like Cheech Marin. It wasn't Cheech Marin, but that's the same as last name. I can't think of his first name. We devised a code language so we could say the F word to bigger kids and they wouldn't get mad at us. We just supplemented or substituted different words in. One of them was skunk you. You going to beat me up because I said skunk you? But if I use the other words, how many of you saw the Christmas story? He's out, the kid's out there helping his father and he drops the lug nuts and in the show it says, oh, fudge! And then the commentary says, that's not really what I said. We just substitute words, right? I don't know why certain words have certain things. You know, I said something that was mean, and a godly Christian man told me, oh, that was a donkey thing to say. You know what he really meant. Friends, certain words have certain power behind them, right? But you and I need to look at the condition of our heart. Because usually when we drop something or stub our toe, we say, oh, sugar. I'm going to stop there because I don't want to give you more ammunition. Because I have plenty of words that we substitute in and out. But what's the condition of our heart? Nor do I want you to say, why substitute? I'll just use the... No. Condition of your heart should not be this way. Should not be this way. We have a lot of newly marrieds and we have soon to be married. Think about the words you tell your spouse. I've had to go to 1 John 1:9 a lot in what I've said to Sarah. A lot of you, several of you have brand new children. New babies. What words will you share with them? Will you strike out in anger because of a bad day at work? Think about the words you use. Words have power. Words have meaning. Learn to use them well because your heart is right with God. Right? Your heart is right with God. And let the Spirit of God help you in the words you use with one another. You know? Because we can build great hospitals, and Christians have. Christians have done great things, but we can undermine it with a few words. Should not be so. Verse 11, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh water and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives or vines produce figs? Of course not. Nor salt water produce fresh? First century, okay? They're trying technology, okay? So don't get technical here. Think about the first century when this was written. They couldn't get fresh water out of salt water. Matthew 5 says, yet your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that is evil. Behind the tongue is the heart. Matthew 12 says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his own good, his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Okay? He says in Matthew 15, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and slander. Okay. Now, everybody here who has a car has an owner's manual, right? The newer cars have an owner's disc, CD, right? Now, how many of you have ever read through that? There's a section there called instrument panel. And it tells you what all the things on your dash are. Usually we don't worry about the two of them, right? The speedometer and the gas gauge, right? Most don't look at the thermometer, the temperature of your engine, right? And most of us only worry about a light on our dash until it starts lighting up and then we wonder what's wrong. How many of you have seen the check engine light? Most of the time, that check engine light is simply you didn't put your gas cap on right. You take it off, you redo it, and it'll cycle through eventually. If after a few days of turning your car on and off, it doesn't go out, then go. And it's probably, you take it in, it's an EKG. No, it's not EKG. It's an emissions control valve. Okay? Basically, it was what it is. Okay? Beyond that, don't take my word for anything else about cars. Our heart, our lips, our tongue, I should say our tongue, is that indicator light for our heart. It tells us what's going on. When that fuel gauge goes down, we're almost on empty. Now, there's a certain thrill of driving your car on empty, right? Some of you know it well. There's a certain excitement. Can I get to the next gas station? It's an adrenaline rush. Although I have to admit, with fuel injection, it is really not a good idea. Okay? And most of your cars today are fuel injection. But there are many a time, praise God, I'm out of gas and I can roll right into a gas station. That's when I had that Volkswagen that all the kids can get in the back and push. Real easy. All I'm saying is this. Our tongue is an indicator of what's happening on in our heart. Okay? Not the tongue you use on Sunday morning when all your Christian friends are around you. Okay? The tongue you use probably this afternoon when your team loses. Right? The tongue that happens when others aren't around. But just because it doesn't come out of the tongue and it's stuck in the mind doesn't make it right or good. Right? Right? If you've thought it, that's bad enough. Because it's been said, if you lose the battle to sin in the mind, you've lost the battle. Another test. Same 30 days, I want you to think about this. Did you say something that encouraged someone? Did you say something that brought comfort to someone? Did you give someone peace with what you said? Peace of mind. Did you say something that set the person on track, on the right track with God? Friends, the two are a reality, huh? But we need to start changing the focus to saying words that bring peace, to bring comfort, to bring encouragement, to bring truth to people. Because that's what will last, because that's what will be based on God's Word. We know that God's Word will never fade away. The rest of it is worldly. It's going to be burned up. We must do things different this year in our lives. And you and I can make that difference. But you know, there's an old phrase in computer language. Garbage in, garbage out. Same thing's true spiritually. Same thing's true spiritually. Can we quote as many verses as we can quote statistics or our latest show, the latest dialogue or the latest winner on our reality show? Garbage in, garbage out. You make the choice. You can put garbage in or you're going to put truth in. That's a choice you need to make. There's a great opportunity for you to start the new year right. It's still only the fourth day. You can start reading your Bible every day. But whatever Bible reading program you use or plan you use, it's not going to read the Bible for you. You need to take that step of obedience. You can put in that which will fuel you spiritually, God's Word, and allow God to have His work in you. But the choice is yours. Are you going to do it? I can't make the choice for you. I can pray for you, but I can't make the choice for you. You will be responsible to answer in the day that you meet God if you made the right choices with the use of your words and the use of your time and your resources. Father, this morning, Father, as your word is said about our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was reviled, he did not revile in return. While he suffered, he uttered no threats, and he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. May you, Father, draw us to cling to you, to call out to you, to hold on to you, to allow you to be the difference maker in our lives today. Thank you for your grace upon us. Thank you for the forgiveness you've offered to those of us who have said some really, really outrageous things. Thank you for your love and your mercy upon us. We pray, Lord, for a breakout year this year. In Jesus' name, amen.